Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. Join me as I interview world-class performers, seven and eight-figure entrepreneurs, digital nomads, and those living on their edge. Basically, living on your edge means you're constantly pushing your comfort zone, always striving for new heights. And that's exactly what we do at the Live Your Edge podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Live Your Edge podcast. Today, we'll be speaking with Jeff Blackman, who is a speaker, author, success coach, broadcast personality, as well as a lawyer. He heads Blackman and Associates, a results-producing business growth firm in the Chicago area. And Jeff's clients call him a business growth specialist. And there is something particularly special about Jeff. He is one of the Hall of Fame speakers under the National Speakers Association, and there's only a handful of professionals, namely 245 of celebrities, speakers, as well as professionals that have been selected and honored worldwide, including Ronald Reagan, Colin Powell, Zig Ziglar, and Norman Vincent Peale. This episode, we'll be talking all about delivering results. So join me in welcoming Jeff Blackman. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. Today, we are speaking with Jeff Blackman. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Gilbert. Great to be here.
So today we are going to talk about high growth strategies for building your business in 2020. Basically, what are the ways we can go about building up our business, creating more revenue, and maximizing growth in the year to come? And then we're going to be talking more on the sales side, how to close more deals, and how to maximize the amount of inbound business you're getting through referrals and other sources. So why don't we start off with your story, Jeff? Tell us, why did you get into business? And as I'm familiar with, you started off in legal, correct?
Well, I'm trained as an attorney, but thankfully I chose not to practice law, which for me, Gilbert, was the right decision. So I've been a lawyer here in the States. I actually live in a northern suburb called Glenview of Chicago. So from downtown Chicago, we're about 23 miles to the northwest. From O'Hare, we are approximately 13 miles to the northeast. So I was trained as an attorney because I always wanted to be, since I grew up as a kid of the 1960s watching TV and seeing attorneys on television, characters like Judd for the Defense or Perry Mason. But I quickly discovered in law school that I wanted to litigate, but lawyers don't litigate, meaning they want to spend as little time as possible in the courtroom. So when I found that out, I transferred from the day division of law school, and I was doing real well. I had won moot court competition with another fellow by the name of Steve Herseth. In addition to that, I was on the dean's list, but I wasn't creatively having fun. So I transferred to the night division, and during the day, I worked full-time in what my undergraduate degree was in from the University of Illinois, which was advertising, and then also broadcasting, because broadcasting is also my background. So I've hosted both radio and TV shows here in Chicago. But what the law did is it taught me a great background in terms of how to ask the right questions. Broadcasting also taught me the same thing, how to ask the right questions. And when I've been asked by people, hey, what did the law teach you about business? They're surprised by my answer when I tell them the law taught me that it's not black or white. Instead, it's gray. So always seek a combination of possibilities. So the law taught me how to do that. And therefore, when I work with clients, they'll often say to me, whoa, we hadn't considered that as a possibility. So I always try to push and challenge my clients in a positive way to think about something from a totally different perspective or alternative. And when I work with clients to grow their business as well as mine, I never give them one solution. They're always what I call multiple relative strategies or result solutions. And typically, we give them at least three choices. So the inspiration initially was related to the law, but then it inspired me to pursue something else, which for the past, for 38 years now, Gilbert, I've chosen to make my living speaking, training, consulting, writing. But if you ask me, what do? I tell people that I'm a business growth specialist who helps CEOs, entrepreneurs, their senior leadership teams, and salespeople sleep really, really well at night.
I like that. I like the phrase helping them sleep really well at night. I have a side question that has to do with the, when you mentioned being in the legal, having that education taught you how to ask great questions. So in the business context, what would be a great question?
Well, in a business context, I think first, any successful individual, whether they are a business owner, a president, a CEO, a chairman, any C-suite definition, whatever your title is, if you are in business and if you are listening right now, I think first you've got to determine why do you do what you do? And what I mean by that is you've got to really understand, Gilbert, what are the motivating factors that are driving the decision of your decision makers. So I'm sure we've got people listening right now who sell products. Others might sell services. Others might sell solutions B2B or B2C or online. But whatever your business is, there are only two driving motivators that you have to first understand by asking yourself, what are they? I'm going to identify them right now because they're the same for every individual listening or every individual in business. Here's the first one. The only thing that other folks, meaning prospects, customers, clients, decision makers, want you to do for them is first improve their condition. Let me repeat that. They want you to improve their condition. That's the present, the right now. I've got a problem. I've got a challenge. Fix it. So first, improve their condition. Now here's number two. Once you do that, Gilbert, then what they want you to do is to help them attain a more favorable future. One more time, improve their condition so you can then help them attain a more favorable future. When you do that for them, you will then do the exact same thing for you. Now, here's the difficulty. Most people, when they attempt to help somebody else improve their condition or attain a more favorable future, they do it by kind of puffing their chest, pounding their chest, and acting like a peacock in a pompous, boastful way, and they want to tell you all about who they are. And if you look at many websites, you will actually see, Gilbert, these two words, about us, or three words, who we are. And when I work with clients, I let them know immediately, if you have about us, or who we are at your website, you just told a prospective client or customer or decision maker, if you click here, it's got nothing to do with you. This is all about us. This is who we are. So they say, well, okay, big shot, what do you suggest? I said, consider language along the lines of how we help you, or even about you, how we impact your success, or words to that ilk or words to that effect. Because what that allows you to do is focus not on the is, which is merely i.e. a feature, but instead the does. Now, to get to the understanding of improving somebody's condition, Gilbert, or helping them attain a more favorable future, you asked about questions. So I'm going to do this more than once in today's interview. So I'm going to strongly suggest, I'm going to unequivocally urge, and I'm going to repeatedly recommend to your listeners that they create what I call their dynamic dozen. And their dynamic dozen is at least 12 open-ended need development questions. They begin with a who, a what, a when, a where, a why, a which, a how, or a tell me more about. One more time. Who, what, when, where, why, which, how, or tell me more about. February 2019, I'm speaking to Gilbert in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. And a woman in the audience said, hey, Jeff, can I tell you about questions and power probes and my friend Ted? And I said, sure, who's Ted? She said, it's her own acronym. So T is what I just alluded to, the tell me more about. But then she said she asked questions that begin with an E or a D. E, explain to me how, and D is describe for me. So if you take questions that begin with the T, E, D, tell me more about, explain to me how, describe for me, along with who, what, when, where, why, which, and how types of questions, now you begin to discover, Gilbert, both the logical and the emotional reasons as to why and how somebody wants to improve their condition or attain a more favorable future. Now, there are two times when it's cool to ask a closed-ended question, and I'll share those with folks right now. Here's the first. It's okay for qualification purposes. And here's the second. It's okay for a decision. So when you're attempting to qualify, it's cool to ask a yay-nay question. Or when it's time to find out, hey, will we be working together, or words to that effect, then of course you can ask a yay-nay question as well. But only once you've discovered through the use of your power probes exactly how you can help them. Now here's why. Most people who are doing data dumps, or what I call drivel dumps, they are really a vendor. They're not attempting to be a partner. And here's the key distinction, Gilbert. A vendor is expendable, but a partner is invaluable. One more time. Vendor, expendable, partner, invaluable.
I loved how you just repeated that the same way you did with the key aspects of the message you want to deliver. Are you familiar with Ed Tate?
Ed Tate?
Yeah. It's also a trainer. I'm not sure if he's based out of, maybe not Chicago, but.
Boy, that name sounds familiar. I am wondering, I went to college with an Eddie Tate, who like me was a disc jockey at the University of Illinois. And I think Ed lives in Denver. Does Eddie Tate, who you refer to, does he live in Denver?
I'm not sure where he lives, but when I listen to his training, he likes to repeat the punchlines, like once more, in a way that allows the audience to really internalize it, and using acronyms like with TED. So it's I love the, and it's also something that you would probably do with clients, correct?
Yeah, what happens is, and I learned from broadcasting both radio and TV, that with certain points, you need to reemphasize and repeat. And I've learned after speaking for 38 years to audiences all over the world, whether it's in a keynote or a workshop or an ongoing learning system, or I'm even coaching a client one-to-one, is that repetition is important. You just mentioned the word internalized, and I always tell that to folks. I let them know that the reinforcement process requires internalization, and the internalization only happens with repetition. The repetition is what really drives eventually execution, and the execution is what drives the results. And let me give your folks a jump start when it comes to great questions. Everyone's got to develop their own dynamic dozen. So it's got to be unique to you. Mm. And one of the things that I do with clients is I'll ask them on a regular basis, what's your dynamic dozen? Because what happens, unfortunately, Gilbert, is most folks, they wing it. They are not well prepared for a meeting, either in person or over the telephone. And that is a business blunder. It is a financial faux pas. It's just plain dumb. Because if you've got the opportunity to positively impact the decision maker in their business, you better be prepared. If you're not, you might not have that next opportunity. So I am always incredibly well prepared, and I encourage others to do the same, to literally take out a sheet of paper and jot down at a minimum those 12 open-ended need development questions. Now, to give your listeners the opportunity to get a jump start, here's something that we'll send to folks because it'll give them immediate value and immediate benefit. So here's the recommendation. Send an email to Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L, at jeffblackman.com. That's jeffblackman.com. Cheryl with an S at jeffblackman.com. In the subject, simply put, Sweet 16, Gilbert rocks. One more time, Sweet 16, Gilbert rocks. That way we'll know they were listening to the Live Your Edge podcast specifically. And then what we'll do is we will send you a jumpstart with 16 potential power probes. They can either use right now or adapt them so they apply to your business. Because others have said it's so helpful to see these questions so they can then play with them to make them work as it applies to whatever product or service they are attempting to sell.
Mm, I love the instructions. That's the first time someone has placed specific instructions to email Cheryl so that they can get...
Yeah, it's just something that we've actually done that for years. So when I'm a guest on a podcast or a radio show or TV or whatever it might be, when we have the opportunity to provide value, we want to provide value. So this gives folks an immediate jumpstart to start to create their questions, because their questions are going to be far more valuable, and it's a game changer. Now, how do I know this? My clients have told me. So my clients say, Jeff, in the past, what we did is go in and we talk about we've been in business for X number of years, and we've got so much square footage in terms of our warehouse, and these are all the customers we work with. So people do not care. When you do this data dump, when you do a drivel dump, or as my buddy Jeffrey Gittimer, who was kind enough to provide an endorsement for the most recent book, Peak Your Profits, the fifth edition, Jeffrey's got a wonderful line where he says, you do not want to show up and throw up.
Mm.
And that's what so many people do. So many of the strategies that I'm sharing with you today, I have written about and spoken about truly for four decades, but many are also included in the new fifth edition of Peak Your Profits. And plain and simple, the strategies work. Not my opinion, my experience, and more important, clients' experience. Now, let me address something that I just did because it's a subtlety, Gilbert, and I want to make sure people caught it and can apply it. You notice that I said my experience. I didn't reference my opinion. My suggestion to anyone listening is when somebody to know what makes you different, what makes you unique, what makes you special, you no longer speak from your perspective. If you want a growth strategy, talk from the strategic perspective of those you have already served. An ecstatic customer, an ecstatic client, or fill in a title, an ecstatic president, project manager, homeowner, again, whatever your product or service is. Do not offer your opinion. Instead, speak from your experience. Experience is the distinguishing factor. Now, this is where my legal background comes into play, because being trained as a lawyer, it's no different than previous case law. The fancy Latin for that is called stare decisis. And all it really means is, okay, Gilbert, interesting case. Let's see if there's previous case law that will help us make sure that you win this case. It's really experience. So now my clients, they don't merely offer their opinion. They speak from their experience with success stories, or what I call tales of triumph. Game changer. Not my opinion, my experience based upon their experience.
A lot of business owners will tend to tell people that they have the best product for sure, but that is obviously their opinion, whereas an experience would be working with success cases that have delivered results and are real people, are not just the business owner just telling people what they think, correct? Yeah.
Absolutely right. And when I work with a client and they say, either at their website or in their brochure or during conversation, will say to me, hey, Jeff, we've got great service. We've got terrific people. We are the best at, and I politely say to them, says who? They go, what do you mean? I go, well, says who? Did you say it or did your customers or clients say it? So there's a significant difference. For example, when you coach people to live to their respective edge, there's a big difference if you wax rhapsodic about how you impacted somebody versus you saying, my coaching clients tell me. Totally different message. You are merely the messenger as opposed to the creator of the message. So I call it third-party testimonial endorsement. Somebody else is tooting your horn, you just get to hold the horn. But let them toot the horn, not you.
That is very sound advice for selling your services without having to really sell it. You have someone else sell it for you. And you're merely just
far more powerful. Exactly.
Yeah. Merely just transferring that trust that clients have given to you onto the other customers.
Key point. You just made it. You just used the word trust. And I have not made this point yet about trust. And this one's important. And I'll repeat it twice because it's really a crucial point, because you referenced trust. Now, here it is. When trust is high, fear is low. Let me repeat. When trust is high, fear is low. What do you think about that?
So trust in this case is really the customer or the prospect feels that they will be taken care of and served properly, you know, under your care, and that you will show care to the prospect. So they have nothing to really now fear.
Bingo. Exactly right. When trust is high, fear is low. Notice I didn't say price is low. Fear is low. And we will even pay a premium because we know we can trust that individual, whether it's with their product, whether it's with their service. That focuses on value, not price. We want a value annuitization, not a price commoditization. What's the difference? We're not focused on the single sale. That's a transaction. We're focused on the long-term annuitized perpetuation of the relationship. And I always stress to folks, when it comes to business growth, revenue growth, you must develop relationships at two levels. Everybody says, Gilbert, oh, we're in a relationship business. Well, of course they are. Can't argue with that. Never will. But here's the distinction. Let me share with you and those listening two simple strategies about relationship power. You've got a little R and then you've got a big R. Here's the distinction. Little R is traditional relationship building. So it's about your humanity, your sincerity, your dignity, your courtesy, your ability to be a good person. Very important, but it's not enough. So what's big R? Big R goes to the ability to be a growth or a life specialist, so to speak, in terms of impacting someone's life or business in a positive way. It's things like helping others maximize gain, minimize loss, improve performance, productivity, profitability, peace of mind. And therefore, when trust is high, fear is low, and the relationship is strong, what you've just done is excluded your competition, because it breeds not just short, but also long-term loyalty. And that drives success and results for a really long time, because it's a heck of a lot easier to continue to serve a current customer or client instead of always be searching for the next one. Business is about acquisition, satisfaction, and retention. So when you find that customer or client who now knows you, likes you, loves you, trusts you, and pays you, hang on to them for as long as you can.
Yeah, because some of the businesses out there, they have very high churn rates when it comes to their customers. The customers come on for 6 months, a year, and then they fall off, and now they have to spend time and effort and resources to look for new customers, which will cost them, keep them from actually growing their business, because they're spending an inordinate amount of time trying to capture new business, and instead of retaining and serving and even like increasing the value delivered, increasing the amount of profits captured, and that, I guess, that would hold them back, correct?
Unfortunately, true. Some businesses, they don't mind churn, turn, burn. They want to move on to the next customer, capitalize upon that immediate sale. And that's fine if it works for them, but boy, it sure don't work for me, because they are focused on all too often a manipulative transactional relationship. And I always stress to people the significance of a long-term relationship and a simple philosophy. It's got to be since 1985, Gilbert, on the back of a napkin, I came up with a philosophy here in Chicago called the Vine philosophy, V-I-N. And I say to swing successfully from this vine will generate a lifetime of results. The V is value driven, the I is integrity based, and the N is non-manipulative. So I encourage people to always deliver more in perceived value than they take in actual cash value. The I is integrity based. You never lie, you never cheat, you never steal, you never fudge, ever. So you never reduce the relationship to what I call a mind manipulating, profit reducing, and energy sapping game of who do you trust. And then finally, N is non-manipulative. I tell folks, if you truly want to pursue the long-term opportunity, you can be aggressive, you can be proactive, but you never manipulate another human being into making a decision. Now, I will let you know, Gilbert, I get pushback on non-manipulative. Some people say to me, come on, Jeff, that's ridiculous. If you're going to sell, persuade, and influence, you have to manipulate people. And I politely respond, if that's what works for you, that's your choice. But it does not work for me, and I therefore will never encourage you to do anything except be value-driven, integrity-based, and non-manipulative. Your character, your reputation, that has got to reign supreme.
Which brings us to the next point. If all those things are done right, having business referrals is probably not a difficult objective to achieve. And when it comes to referrals, is it in a place where would you ask for referrals?
Uh-huh.
Or your business is done right, those referrals would just happen like clockwork. And if you do have to ask for referrals, how would you go about doing so?
Well, first, it's important to understand the philosophy behind asking for referrals. And it really touches upon what we just discussed, and that is acquisition cost. So I will often ask clients, what is your customer client acquisition cost? And sometimes they look at me like, huh? What? Got no idea. I go, well, let's figure it out. And depending upon their business, it could be hundreds of dollars. It could be thousands of dollars. The good news is, conceptually, a referral has got no acquisition cost because it should be, at a minimum, a warm lead or introduction. And we can use the word introduction as well. Some people prefer introduction versus referral, or it's a hot lead or a hot introduction. So what happens, though, is most people do not take advantage. Why? Because people claim, oh, the reason must be, Jeff, they're not well-trained. I go, nope. They go, oh, they're fearful. They don't want to blow the relationship. I go, nope. They go, well, what's the number one reason? So based upon my 38 years as a business growth specialist and research that I've done with my clients in a variety of industries from A through Z, the number one reason that we've been told, believe it or not, Gilbert, is people tell me, I just plain forget. When I started to do this research, I went, really? They go, I just forget. So I get so excited because somebody says yes, and then I want to leave, or in a future meeting, I forget to bring it up. So I heard this so often, I created the acronym called REMEMBER, REMEMBER, which stands for referrals. Every moment, every month brings excellent results. Referrals every moment, every month brings excellent results. Or the final ER we can even call extra revenue. Again, lead, no acquisition cost. This story is at our website, that's at jeffblackman.com, about Bank One. So when I was working with Bank One in the late 90s, this particular division of Bank One, which was and the word one, O-N-E, they sold mortgages, loans, but they did not have a referrals culture. Drove me nuts, Gilbert. The good news is I was on long-term retainer with them. So every year over the course of truly 2.5 to 3 years, I kept politely asking the president, can we introduce a referrals system to your loan officers? And I was always told, no, not part of our culture. And again, entire story is at our website. So finally, after year three, he turned to me and he said, if you stop asking me, I'll let you do a pilot. I said, really? He went, yes. I said, cool. So we do the pilot. And we do the pilot at three loan centers in the Midwest. It's so successful, the president says, roll it out for the entire country. We roll it out, and in the next 23 months, it generates $230 million in new business only from referrals. And here's the other fascinating news. The size of those referral loans was larger than the typical loan, and it also took them less time to bring that loan to fruition or a done deal versus a non-referral loan they were attempting to pursue. So we've taken those exact same strategies and introduced it to other clients, again, any industry you can think of, and folks go, whoa, I had no idea I could do this. And that's key. They didn't know they could do this because they did not have the requisite skills, attitudes, and behaviors. And all the time, Gilbert, we work with clients on their skills and their attitudes and their behaviors to then produce the right results. And I always tell people, when all is said and done, more should not be said than done. So one of the reasons that we've been able to help successfully grow so many clients in their businesses is because this stuff works. Again, not my claim, more important, clients' experience. So we've had clients that have doubled their business, tripled their income. Plain and simple, this stuff works, but you've got to execute. You've got to execute. Nobody listening is compensated for intent. They are compensated based upon results.
Which, of course, the results at the end of the day is more business, more sales, more customers, and which brings us full circle. How do we close more sales aside from just the referrals, which you have so elaborately explained, which are so crucial and need to be done right?
So when it comes to referrals, you've got to always earn the right to ask for referrals. By the way, if anybody requests those power probes by simply sending to Cheryl@jeffblackman.com, subject Sweet 16 Gilbert Rocks, they will see in the email salutation from Cheryl, we request referrals or introductions to others. So they'll see that actual language. And many people say to me, whoa, I never considered using my email outbound salutation as a mechanism to also ask for referrals until they see that we do it. Now, it's not in every email. Gilbert, you and I, if we had a thread going back and forth, it wouldn't be in every email. That would just be goofy. But in terms of the initial email of a new topic, we will include it, either for me or from Cheryl. So it's another mechanism to keep the door open for opportunity, which goes to the question you just asked me about. Use the word close. Now, this is my bias. My bias is we never teach clients how to close business. Here's why. Close is a word that implies that something is done, finished, or terminated. And it's not true. Because what happens is now you've got to deliver. It's not closed, it really just began. So in the pages of Peak Your Profits, the new fifth edition, we also talk about the six steps of the business growth and business development system of opportunity selling. So real quickly, I will give to you and your listeners those six steps. It's OPRTN, and the final step is TY. So it's OPRTN, and the final step is TY. O is the open. That's your initial contact with your customer, client, or decision maker over the phone, in person, whatever it might be. P is the probe, which we discussed, asking those great questions: who, what, when, where, why, which, how, or tell me more about. Now that I know what it is that you'd like to accomplish, now that I know what problem you want to solve, Gilbert, need you need to fill, group or goal you'd like to get, only then do I move to the art, which is the reveal. And the reveal is, I will now share with you specific strategies. alternatives, possibilities to improve your condition, help you attain a more favorable future, whatever it might be. Then you T. T is translate. You focus on not what something is, the feature, you translate what it does. Again, the focus is not the is, but it's the does. You're delivering benefits, results, advantages, and outcomes. And is negotiate, but only if necessary. And by the way, when you negotiate, you never give something up unless you get something of equal or greater value in return. And then finally, TY. TY is what most people call the close, but I call it, Gilbert, the yes. You want to seek the yes, which keeps the door open for the next opportunity. That's why I never use the word close. It means stuff is done, and it's not true. The journey has really just begun.
Definitely. That was a great way to put it. I mean, the sales process is, there's a lot of different schools of thought when it comes to how to approach it. But like you mentioned, more or less, it's the fundamentals all boil down to being able to open the prospect, being able to find out what their pain points are and finding out what they need and revealing to them what is the products and services that you offer that can fill that void in their life, in their business. And of course, finally getting to that yes, which may not result in a sale, but keeps the conversation going and keeps the relationship going. And there's infinite amount of things that can come about that maybe they refer a customer, maybe they become a customer in the future, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely true. And when you reference pain point, you can't find out pain points or frustrations or challenges or hopes and dreams and desires if you're doing all the talking. So what you've got to do is engage. How do you engage? You do it by asking terrific questions. What does that do? It creates a high level of trust. What does that do? It eliminates fear. When people know they can trust you, they will reveal even more. When I get the question, Jeff, how can you help us? I'll often say, I'm not sure if I can. I first have to understand what it is that you'd like to accomplish. And other clients value the fact that we begin with the world's fastest strategic plan. And they'll say to me, Gilbert, what do you mean, world's fastest strategic plan? And I say something like, together we are going to figure out where are you? Where would you like to be, and how do you want to get there? And that's true whether I'm coaching somebody one-on-one or I'm working with a president, a CEO, a VP of sales and marketing, a director of business development, and their entire team. The only way we create this parade of progress is first understand, well, where are you? Where do you want to be? Okay, now let's figure out how to get you there. And that enables us to focus on specific goals and objectives. And then, of course, desired outcomes, and then we measure it. But it requires action. I will never tell folks that business growth is an easy process. It's not. It requires concerted effort, it requires persistence, and it requires the continual ability to persist when facing obstacles or challenges, because they will be there, guaranteed. So it just becomes a question of how bad do you, any individual, want to be able to achieve something. So I talk about convert hope to hustle, turn rhetoric to reality. That's the only way you can make it happen, is focus on doing something. Be a doer, don't be a sayer.
Hope to hustle, rhetoric to reality?
Reality.
Reality. Wow. Well, there you have it. How to achieve high business growth in 2020, how to effectively ask for referrals so that you can retain customers and get new customers that will last you potentially a lifetime. And finally, how you can move prospects through the sales cycle, not so that you can close them, but that you can have a relationship with them and be able to help them. If you are not able to help them, you would be able to tell them so. So you're operating with, like you mentioned, Vin, you're operating with giving them value, you're operating with integrity, and you're not trying to manipulate them. So with that, those that are listening today, business owners, entrepreneurs, and so forth, if they love to get in touch with you and learn more about you, learn about your work, maybe work with you, how can they find you?
Nice of you to ask. The easiest thing to do first is let us provide significant value to you. So when Cheryl sends that information, you'll now know how to be able to reach us quickly. So my recommendation is just send an email to Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L, at jeffblackman.com. Again, in the subject, put Sweet 16, Gilbert Rocks. Cheryl will then send this jump start of 16 proven relevant power probes that will inspire folks to create their own dynamic dozen or more in terms of power probe questions. Also, for anyone listening, I've alluded to the fifth edition of the best-selling Peak Your Profits, which is available obviously in English at Amazon. But soon, and when I say soon, meaning a little bit later this year, either sometime in about the March to May-ish timeframe, the Chinese edition of Peak Your Profits is also going to be available, Gilbert. So I wanted to mention that to folks. If anyone's got a direct question, though, or a challenge they want to share with me, shoot me an email. My pleasure to respond. And my email would simply be Jeff, J-E-F-F, at jeffblackman.com.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Jeff. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us your experience and your wisdom on what it takes to really turn a business successful. So in closing, I thank everyone and I really appreciate all the listeners staying here and learning from other experts that are coming on the show. With that said, I appreciate you coming on the show, Jeff.
Pleasure's mine, Gilbert. Thank you and Shishi. And it's just been a kick to be able to help you and your listeners. And let's hope we help them all live to their edge. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.